Blog Talk Radio.
For this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. You're tuned to Time to Talk About It with your host, Pastor G.W. Cheever Porter, coming to you from the city of Orlando, Florida, where the sun shines bright, palm trees blowing in the wind. Wish you, and you were here. Yes, 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 we are having some hot days here. Oh, my. So we want you to stay out of the sun. If you only go if you just have to. And when you do, don't stay in it too long because you're liable to get a heat stroke. And I do not want anything to happen to my listeners. Not at all. Okay? Now, we can pray for you, but we don't want you to be silly and do dumb stuff. Okay? So stay out of the sun. Don't go unless you just got to be out there in it. It is fierce out there, okay? My. We do thank God for you, and you being with us today. We thank God. We have a prayer warrior here with us today, a person that don't mind praying, you know, for people and you, me, and everybody else. And we're going to, you know what, we're going to do a little something different today. We're going to let them pray today. How about that? Is that all right? We're going to let them, where the book go? We're going to let them pray today, okay? And if you have a request, call us at 347-857-3925 and put your request in right now. If you put your request in right now, and then we can let this prayer warrior pray.
Praise the Lord, City of Orlando. Good morning. We would like to pray for the sick and the short in this morning. Glory to God. We would like to pray for Miss Yvonne Christian. Let's pray for her healing and keep her lifted up in God. Also, Miss Kenya Fred, let's pray for healing in her body and ask God to touch her body in a mighty and a special way. Let's pray for Kima Fred for healing also in her body, that she may rise up and heal from whatever she is going through in her body. Let's ask God to also touch her bloodstream. Amen. Let's pray for Miss LaCara. Oh, God, let's pray that she find a way in Christ and nothing can stop her from finding her way, and let God continue to guide her. Let's pray for Miss Marlene Plumpke. Let's ask God to touch her in her body also. Whatever she needs in her body, let God touch her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's pray for Miss Ruth Wallace. Oh, God, let's ask God to heal everything in her body and touch her and rise up them bones and let her bones live in the name of Jesus. And let's pray for Miss Petra. Let's continue to pray for healing in her body and ask God to touch her in a mighty and a special way and rise her up. Let's pray for Mother Fields. Let's ask God that she continue to live and have life and life more abundantly. Let's pray for Miss Kelly. Let's pray for her family and friends and ask God to continue to strengthen her as she go through with her daily walk. And let's pray for Maurice. Let's continue to pray for her healing in her body and ask God to touch whatever is going through in her body. And let's pray for Miss Monica Shannon. Let's ask God that whatever she desires and whatever she needs, that he honor it and she walk upright in him and it's done. And let's also pray for my mother, Marion Christian, that God continue to heal her and continue to strengthen her. And Father God, as I pray for these people right now, now, God. I ask you to touch them in a mighty and a special way, oh God. Oh God, whatever they need within this hour, God, I ask you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, to rise them up right now, Father. I declare and I decree, God, that they shall not die. They shall live and have more life abundantly. Father God, I ask you, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, God, to rise them up and let them dry bones live. Father God, you said, God, that bread is the children's healing, God. And I thank you, God, for healing these people on this prayer line and this prayer list even right now, God. Touch, heal, deliver, and set them free, God. Even if they're bound up even right now, Father, I ask that you have mercy, God, and deliver them and heal them right now, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus. And this is thy servant prayer. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. We thank God for it. Now, if you appreciate that prayer and you want some of that same prayer, call us at 347-857-3925. God is moving by his spirit and by his power. He is blessing his people, and he's raising them up today, and they're having a testimony while they are living, not dead. We don't want dead testimony. They are alive and well, and God is moving by his power right now, because we believe God today, not ourselves, not you, not somebody else, but God Almighty, that he is the healer. Oh, yes, he is, and he's the one that hear the cry of the children. Yes, you cry to him right now, and we're going to help you if two of us agree touching anything. So we over here and you over there, and tell us what it's all about, and we agree together with you and get the job done. How about that? Isn't that all right? All right. We thank God for Evangelist Eurisha. We thank God for her today. Amen. Just being here, this is a surprise, but, you know, we always have surprise. And we have another little surprise. We have a little Nathan here with us also, too, you know. Little Nathan. Yeah, we have him with us also. Isn't that wonderful? Maybe we'll hear from him after a while. Also, amen. We put everybody to work. We thank God for him today. Thank God for Deacon Mike here. We thank God for Sister Di here with us too. Lady McGrath. Yeah, we thank God for her being with us, you know. Praise God. We trust that she's awake and well today. Amen. Amen. And God is good, isn't he?
Yes, he is.
I tell you, I don't know what I'd do without him, you know. I just love Jesus, you know. I just love him so much. Yes. Yeah. Do you love him? Huh? Do you really love him? I tell you, you'll love the people too. And you want to see everybody get blessed, don't you?
Amen.
I know you do. Even the worst of people, they need help.
Amen.
You know, they don't even know they need help, some of them. All right, let me give you the word for the day. I may not be able to run anymore, but I'm wise enough to appreciate the days when I could. I may not be able to run anymore, but I'm wise enough to appreciate the days when I could. You see? Huh? Oh, there was that time I could do some running, but now, barely walking, huh? Praise God. Amen. God is good. Hallelujah. I thank God every time I can move a step. How about you? Huh? I appreciate him for the strength that he gives me day by day. Listen now, day by he gives me strength, and I appreciate him for it. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Those of you that's praying for me, really praying for me, I appreciate you too. Yes, I do. You're on God's rostrum, huh? You're on his rostrum, so therefore you're praying for me too, right? All right, now, don't let me find out you ain't praying for me now. I'm going to feel real bad. Hey, hallelujah. God is still good, I tell you. If he was just close, I could see him, I'd just give him a big hug, you know. I'd just give him a big hug, wouldn't you? I know you would. See, now, did you see that? You hear what somebody just said? Say, well, he and me, give me the big hug. Ha! You never thought of that, would you?
Okay.
Now, you would have never thought of that. Nobody but Sister Diane would think of something like that, I might. Those two would think of things like that. Mm-hmm. Yes, they would. Do you think of that? Give you a big hug? Well, I tell you what. You come on over to the tabernacle where we at, to the church where we at, and we give you a big hug. How's that? Huh? Yes. And it say, we know this is for God, right? That's it. Got it. You got it. Amen, amen. Lord God is good to us, ain't he?
Yes, he is. Mm.
Let us see the God in each other and appreciate the God in each other. See, a lot of time we don't appreciate the God in one another. All right? We see him, and then we say, well, I don't know if that's God or not. You know, because sometimes people act kind of strange. And so we'll say, I don't know if that's God. But, you know, I'm so glad about one thing. God is not normal like you are. You understand? He does things out of the ordinary. All right? And it puts people to thinking. You know, it puts them to thinking. And I'm glad he has a portion in his ministry where you don't got to know everything. You see what I'm saying? You do not have to know everything because God keeps that for himself. Just do it. Do what he say and go on about your business and be happy. Amen. 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 All right, today, you know, we're going to go through a little word here, if we may. And we try. So why don't you call a friend, you know, call a friend and tell them to tune in. Call this number, 347-857-3925. Call somebody. Get somebody interested. If you interested, why not get someone else? If you like it, why not invite others, you know? Let us just put that word out there and make this day, a day that you know God is moving, because you got one of the people that you know need God, and they listen. You know, talk them into it. You talk them into everything else. Talk them into that. Listening. All right. We're going to go forward. We're going to start off in 1 Samuel 15 and 1. And it says, also Samuel also said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now, therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Now, here we go have this man of God coming now to do a deed, to anoint someone, to anoint Saul. Now, but think about this now. Let me give you a little thought. In the instant of King Saul, after Samuel anointed him, listen, he told him the condition for keeping the anointing. Now, this is what we're talking about today. You know, conditions of keeping the anointing. Because people will get the anointing, but they don't keep it, you see. They don't listen to what? The conditions. And this is what he said. Let's jump down to the 8th verse. And he took Agag, I think I pronounced the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Now, this is what he did. But see, God had told him what to do, all right? Now, what has God told you to do? Huh? Now, you can read this entire story at your leisure, okay? We, for lack of time, we're going to be jumping around, all right? He says, let's read the second verse. Thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. See, now we're bringing remembrance to everything. you remember stuff because you want to something bad to happen to them, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we do? So, now, but think about this. God's instruction to Saul was to kill all the Amalek. See, A-L-L. God knew if they were not destroyed, they would hinder Israel from serving God and thus hinder their anointing. So now, that was a purpose. Do you see what we're talking about here today? Disobedience. Because we don't know what God's purpose is, so we feel that we should disobey God. What did man or woman of God say to you? You would say that that's not it. I'm going to do what I want to do, what my mind. And we were talking this morning, Bishop and I was talking to him, and we say, well, you know, so many times people don't realize what God is saying to his people, the leaders. See, now, when God was talking to his leaders, like Abraham and Moses, when he was talking to them, you know, giving them instructions of what to tell the people and what the people were to do, they don't want to believe it, just like today. They don't want to believe what the leader is saying as they are spokesmen for God. They don't want to believe that. So we were reminded of when Aaron and Miriam, when the two of them went up against Moses, right? And they went up against him. Well, listen, is you the only person God talked to? Well, now, are they saying that in your church? Are they saying that in your circle of friends or wherever you are? God talked to me too. In other words, this is what they were saying. You see, they had got together amongst themselves. Because evidently something that Moses had said, they didn't want to follow, they didn't want to do. You know, you see how the church world is today. There are things that you don't want to do, so therefore you question the man or woman of God that God has given them instructions, do you see? So therefore you begin to question, well, he can talk to us too if he wants us to do that. No, he can't talk to you because you have not been set aside for conversation with God. You see, Moses was set aside for conversation with God. He was the one that you talked to first before you talked to him. And if it's okay, then he'll tell Moses, okay, I'll talk to them. If not, no, I cannot talk to them. You see, so you have to go through the leader in order to get to God for as your answer's concerned. Do you see what I'm saying? Because he made them to be the spokesman, his mouthpiece, do you see? So we get all hung up in life over, well, God speaks to me just as well as he could speak to the pastor. But you ain't the pastor. You weren't called for conversation. You wasn't called. You weren't the anointed one that God deal with. You see, that special anointing. Do you get the picture? Y'all get it after a while. Glory to God. So therefore he told Saul, kill all the Amalek. Now, God knew if they were not destroyed, what was going to happen. He knows today what will happen if you don't do what he say. That is something that you don't have to know now. You see what I'm saying? You ain't got to know. Just do it. Do you see? Now, this is the whole matter here, okay? Now, he says, thus say, Lord, I remember that he remembered the Amalek did to Israel. He was remembering all that stuff, okay? And now it's time for them to pay the piper. Okay? Time for them to pay the piper. Up in the eighth verse, but Saul and the people spared Agag. See what he doing? You see? Now he told them to kill them all. All of them, destroy all. Let me go up to the third verse. See what he say. Now you're going to say God is a mean God, ain't you? That's what you're going to say. He said, now go up and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. He said, don't leave nothing alive. Can you do what God tell you to do when you'll go over them, your human nature is, oh, but God. Now, he ain't telling you to go out there and kill nobody. He ain't telling you to get no gun and shoot up nothing. Huh? Now, them people is of the devil that went out there and shot up these people. God ain't no more spoke to them, you know, as the man in the moon did. You see, and there ain't no man in the moon. Okay? So, they go about trying to put God in the fix here. And he ain't going to be in there because what is he saying? Huh? He don't want nothing to hinder his anointing. Do you get the picture? Nothing and nobody. If he have to change the course of the world, it will not hinder God's anointing. Do you get the picture here, what I'm trying to tell you today? So, now, when God tell you to do something, he knew what? He mean for you to do it, don't he?
Amen.
Huh?
Amen.
He mean for you to do it. This is what he say. Destroy them all. This is what he told them told the people to do. Do you think he do it? Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be the king. I'm sorry I made him a king. For he is turned back from following me and had not performed my commandment, and it grieved Samuel. Samuel cried. Huh? Samuel cried. See, now think about you making your pastor cry. Now, he ain't got to stand up in the pulpit and shed no briny tears to you and make you do right, make you give or nothing. He go before God and cry to God for you and your disobedience. Disobeying the word of God because that leader, man or woman, gave you what thus saith the Lord. You will not believe it. You will not turn back from what you were doing and do what God has commanded you to do. You wouldn't do it. Huh? So what? He has to do what? Cut you off.
Oh,
nice. You don't want God to cut off everything you know and love. You don't want that. But because of the fact that a lot of times it has to be done. Now, that sounds rough. It does sound rough and hurting and all of that. And you'll say, you know how some of you agnostics say, oh, but God is a God of love. And, you know, he won't do anything like that. Didn't I just read that to you? Didn't I just read what the book said? Well, first of all, so let's back up. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe it's the unadulterated word of God? See, we first have to establish your belief system. Do you believe in God? A God, the only God. Do you believe in that? See, before we can ask you this question, we need to find out what is your beliefs. Do you really believe in God? See, because if you don't believe in God, you'll think, oh, I thought y'all say. You know what we always come up with that word? I thought y'all said that God was the God of love. Mm-hmm. He can love you. He loved you so good that he made a way for you to escape the pit. See? Now, he made a way for you to escape the pit because the pit was made for the devil and his angels. You see, that's who it was made for. But he sent forth his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to save you from that awful death. You see, that's what he did because he loved you so. Now, if you don't want to follow instructions, you want to be disobedient, then you get what you deserve. See, these people, he only gave them a simple thing. Kill them all. Don't leave nothing there. Evidently, they did. When you read the story, you'll find out they really did some damage to Israel. And God don't like hurting his people. See? And that's what he says. Touch not my anointing and do my prophet no harm. This is the word that he's give you. Now, when you do him harm and you touch him, then, hey, I don't know what's going to come about. I don't know what's going to happen. I can't predict what's going to happen. All I know is he said, don't do it. Because when you do it, something is going to happen and you ain't going to like it.
Come on now.
As one would say, it ain't going to be pretty. You see what he say? So, now we have a God here that means what he say. They did not follow me. And he say, and had not performed my commandment, and it grieved Samuel. Samuel started crying unto the Lord all night long. Is you crying for anybody? Huh? Because they are not obeying God. Do you know what's hurting to pastors that God called? Do you know what happened? Huh? It grieves them that they tell you what thus said the Lord and how God wants to bless you and God wants to multiply and do all these things for you and keep his promises to you, and you won't listen. You won't obey or follow instructions. Huh? You don't want to follow these things of what he say. Because he tells you, let's see what another verse say to help you out on that. I'm going to see, I think the 19 says, wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord. Now, you think God don't see the evil you're doing and going against him? You think he don't hear you? Huh? You don't think he heard you, did you? Huh? So what is he saying to you? What you think God is saying? When you do this, what the 22nd verse, and Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? See, you can fast, pray, sacrifice all you want to, but obedience, he says here, obedience, here we go. Let's read. Let's get on down here. What he said, obey better than sacrifice. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of ram. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and adultery, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected thee. He had rejected Saul from being king. Saul just didn't know it. See, that's like that squirrel was on that limb of that tree, and he jumped to another limb, and that limb he was on was still shaking like he was still there. See, Saul was still shaking like he still had the anointing, but he had lost his anointing through disobedience. Do you want to be in that shape? I don't think you want to be in that shape. You don't want to lose the anointing that God has given you. You done worked so hard to get, and now you get down the road and you're going to disobey God because somebody told you you don't have to listen to what the preacher said. You don't have to listen to what the pastor said. Your pastor said you don't have to listen. You can get out there on your own and do better and all that. You listen to the voice of the evil one, and therefore you're going to have to pay the penalty because you reject God's word. You see? And when you reject God's word, you have a high price to pay. I know, and you say, oh, but God ain't gonna do nothing to me. He's too good. He's too kind. You keep saying that. He is good and he's kind. He's all of that and then some. But he also got another side. When you rebel, what did he say? The rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. It's just like you out fixing portions for people trying to fix them up. That stubbornness, as iniquity and adultery. You could be serving idols. Why? Because of your stubbornness. That's what you're doing. Just like serving idols. Can you get the picture here? When you don't obey God, no matter how simple or complicated it may sound, do it. It may sound weird. It may sound out of the way. But when he said, it usually come out okay when God said, and you see what his purpose was. See, then you see the purpose of God, what it was, why he wanted you to do that. He always have a reason. You don't have to know it all the time when he tell you what to do. Just get up and do it. And I was thinking about Mary when they was at the wedding, you know, and he told, she told the people, say, whatever he tell you to do, do it. They didn't be specific. Well, he may tell you to get a bucket of water and he fill it up. Or he may just squeeze some grapes up without touching them. You know, she didn't go into all of that. Like so many people today, they want specifics. Huh? There is no specifics. See? Now, what? Let me tell you, the only specifics is when God gives specifics to you that this and that and the other is going to happen, and they happen as he say, but even then you don't believe it. When God gives you specifics, I know lots of people that I told about car, houses, or whatever, you know, and they don't listen. They say, yeah, you know, but I ain't going to do it right now. I'll do this later. I'll do it another time. But that's not what God say. His time. His time, everything has been prepared for your blessing. Eve, see, that's what I'm talking about. When you can't see it, having faith, you know, in God, the God, you don't see God, but you know he exists. You know he's alive. You know he's in your heart. You know he's always by your side and moving and for you and making ways out of nowhere for you. You know he's there. But why you want to get down the road and let somebody talk to you? Huh? Tell you ain't no God. God don't exist. You need to quit that church where you at because, you know, ain't nothing going on. Well, how you know ain't nothing going on? You ain't there. And who told you nothing wasn't going on? The one that told you wasn't nothing going on, they don't belong there because they cannot receive from the people, the pastor or whoever who's over the ministry. They can't receive from them because they don't believe in them that they are preaching the word of God. So they go out and tell you what they believe and not what is being said in the midst. You get the picture. You got it. See, so you're going to be stubborn and do it your way. So then what is God saying? You have rejected his word, the word of the Lord. And when you rejected his word, what do he do? He reject you. He reject you, and what happens? You don't have that anointing that you had before. You may try to have it, but it's not there. See, disobedience cost Saul the throne and the anointing. It cost him that. Do you get it? Now, he was still king for a while. He was king for a while, but he didn't have that anointing. He couldn't get a word from the Lord because God had given him a word. Do you want to trust that you not, God will cut you off where you will not be able to receive a word from him, that he won't even think about sending somebody your way and giving you no word? Do you want to be in that position? I think not. Accept the word, be it whether you understand it or not, but then you say, God, I need some understanding of what this means. What should I do? How should I do it? Should I do it right now, or is there a specific date? Ask God, and he will tell you, do it now or later date or whatever. See, God don't play games. You do. This ain't Pokemon, Pac-Man, whatever that little ugly thing that's running around. This ain't that. That's the devil's work. Do you get the picture? See, God is straight up with what he says. And if you don't understand, you have lack of understanding, he will give you full understanding of what he's talking about because you were so concerned that you wanted to do what God said do and not what you wanted to do. So he going to give you understanding about it. Can you read that? Can you get that? Do you see what I'm trying to tell you? That's what God wants you to do. Now, you got all kind of hindrance to your anointing. disobedience is a great part. You know what I'm saying? Great part. Saul lost everything. That's why he, you know what, I just thought of something. Is that why people go out and go to the voodoo doctors and all that?
Jesus.
Because they don't have no kind of anointing. Well, we know they ain't got no anointing anyway for doing that. But do you think maybe they have once had some and then they turn to that because they don't have it no more? It's gone. Ichabod is written there in its place. The Lord has departed. Oh, that sounds so, I don't even want to experience that. You hear what I'm saying? Well, just thinking about it, it does something to me. Do you see? God wants you not to allow things to hinder your anointing. You can, you have no dedication. One of the things is lack of dedication. And if you don't have no dedication, what happens? You're not going to do what you're supposed to do. And then think of something else. No kind of consecration whatsoever. You ain't going to consecrate nothing, your money, your time, and you either, to God. You ain't going to be faithful. See? These are things hindering to your anointing. But most of all, do you know what you need? You need a hunger and thirst after God, for God's presence. See, the whole thing is we want to go to church and have a worship service and praise service, but we don't want his presence. And most of the time we have worship, all the piano playing is good, the drums is good, all of the singing is great, the preacher preach great, but his presence not there. You need the anointing to be there. Do you hear what I'm saying? You need the anointing to be there. That's what you need. And that anointing requires obedience. You don't have to obey God for that anointing to come. See what he said? It don't care nothing about sacrifice. Don't care nothing about your offering. See, we think you can pay our way through. You can't pay your way through this. Not for the anointing. Remember the Simeon in the New Testament? Trying to buy the Holy Ghost? And he suffered dearly for trying to buy the Holy Ghost. See? You can't buy it. It's going to take some dedication, consecration, and you're going to have to really hunger and thirst after God in order for this anointing to come forth. Now, you go to church and go to church and go to church, and you can go to church, but ain't no, the presence of God is not there. You want to see the glory come down and fill the temple, don't you? You want to see that, don't you? I know I do. I like to see it. You ever seen it? If you ever seen it, that's something you're going to long for forever. It doesn't occur all the time. See? Because what? The flesh get in the way a lot of time. And the flesh can't do the work of the Holy Spirit. All we try to make it so. You ever seen church trying to force the anointing to come? Force the presence of God to be in the place? They holler, they scream, they stomp, they run. And the presence still not there. Did you see what I'm saying? That present come in, you know it beyond a shadow of a doubt. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. That is something awesome. Okay? And from then on, you always wondering, why is there no presence of the Lord? Now, we praising God. The music sound good. You want to shout a little bit, dance a little bit. All that's good. Dancing is good. David danced so till he danced out his clothes. See? He danced come out his clothes. He was dancing so. And he was doing what? Dancing unto the Lord. He had invited the presence of a God in his in his place where he was. See, he didn't have to be in the church house, but he was right there. He was right near his home. And then his wife thought he was crazy and asked him why he was doing that there, doing that out of his clothes, dancing all out your clothes like you a nut. You probably say the same thing, wouldn't you? Your husband and wife get out there dancing and clothes fall all down, and you say, what you doing out there letting everybody see you? Which, why are you doing that? See? Now, but let me tell you, she balked against the presence of God, so therefore her wound was closed. See what I'm saying? It don't pay to go against the presence of God. You let the anointing flow, whether you understand it, whether, hey, it look crazy. Some people say, well, you ain't got to hang from the chandelier. I ain't never seen nobody hang from nobody's chandelier, have you? I ain't seen nobody do that. I've seen people jump on the table, and man, I've been to jump on my table one time, and I had a glass table up there in front of the church, and I told them, don't you dare. I interrupted them, and I said, I'm sorry, but it ain't dang God. You jumping on my glass table. You finna break my table. Mm-mm. I told him, you dance any way you want to. Now, I know it sounds crazy, but he just was not going to dance on top of my table. All right? But he did post them all down this man's suit. And the man almost entire suit was covered with oil. Now, would you call that the anointing? Or you just, you know, you ain't had to do all that. And the man still ain't moved. You see what I'm saying? So where was the anointing? Now he had a high cleaner bill he had to pay. You see when people do things? You say, well, why you say it was out of order? Do you think God tell you get up there on top of a glass table and you fall through and then you're going to sue me? You get cut or something, hurt yourself, then you're going to sue me. I'm at fault. Because when you go to the hospital, then they're going to tell you, well, you need to sue them. You need to go, you know. It's like the lady that sued the church when she was supposed to be in the spirit. And when she fell out in the spirit on the floor, she bumped her head. Then she went to the doctor, and then she had a suit against him, all in the newspaper and everything. That's embarrassing. You're supposed to do it. If you do it under the anointing, you ain't going to hurt yourself, because God ain't going to let you hurt yourself. Now, if you hurt yourself, you ain't in the spirit. I'm just going to tell you that. I ain't never got hurt. Now, I done fell out in the spirit and lost hats and everything. You know, I ain't never hurt myself. And I done hit chairs and everything. I ain't had no bump or nothing on me. Wasn't sore or nothing. See? In the first place, what you want to fall out for?
It's showtime.
Huh? You just want somebody to see and thank you under the anointing. Thank you. Baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what you think. You want somebody to think these things. Make a show. Is that what you want to do? Well, do you think God is pleased with that? God ain't pleased with you play acting. Huh? He is not pleased with that. And you got to get over that too. You got to get over that and let go. Let the real Holy Ghost come in. Huh? And boy, when it come in, you won't never forget it. You always want to seek its presence. You'll always want to seek the presence of the living God. I tell you, I love it. I love it when he comes. You know, when I don't see him, I feel real down, and I just, you know, I just feel like I'm not alive. Huh? When the presence. But you know another thing it takes? I'm going to let Deacon Mike go on here. Another thing is, if you got to be more dedicated to the word of God than you ever was before. Do you know that? And give your all to him. Be sincere. in your crowd to God. You got to do that. And then everybody needs to be on one accord. How about the day of Pentecost in Acts? Everybody was on one accord. It didn't come until they got on one accord. Now notice that. He did not come. Is he waiting at your church? Is he waiting at my church? Is he waiting for everybody to get together instead of everybody in their own world? Trying to manifest a good feeling, come to church with a good feeling, but instead they come to church with a bad spirit and they leave with the bad spirit. You see? But they're going to have to make a change. You see? All right, we're going to let Deacon Mike to go ahead on and have something to say. Bless God.
Well, you better get going.
Mm-hmm.
I need something for tomorrow.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We thank God for Apostle Porter. I mean, you know, when we look at today's times, you know, we need the dedication in the Lord at this time. We need to have ourselves according to the Lord, according to his word, you know. And as I heard apostles say, do you believe in the Bible? That's number one. Do you believe in God? That's number two. Do you believe in salvation? That's number three. And number four is, do you have enough faith to believe in all of this? You know, because a lot of people say they have a lot of lip service going on. I call that the phony spirit, Showtime at the Apollo, they think they at. You know, because there's a lot of them be out there faking a move, you know, putting on the show that they so sanctimonious and all of this. You know, it's time out for all this foolishness because God is taking them out of here. They dropping like flies. God is taking them out of here. And, you know, I was thinking about that, and as the apostle was talking, I was thinking about the governor of Ohio, John Kasich. Kasich was a Roman Catholic, but he gave his life to Jesus. So he believed when people say something to him, he take them at their face value. So why can't we all be as good Christians to take ourselves at face value, as tell the truth, as be honest with one another, as even when you in church and you up there doing all this shouting, you're not being honest with yourself, you're not being honest with God, you're not being honest with whoever, you're not being honest at all. You're putting on the show. What you're actually doing is you're lying to God. You're not even lying to the Holy Spirit. You're lying to God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you up here putting on the show. Who are you trying to impress?
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. You can't impress God with this phony act. You can't do that. Or are you trying to impress man?
Mm-hmm.
Or woman? Let me just put it to you that way. Who are you trying to impress?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because men do it too. They'll put on the phony shout. They'll be up there shouting like Michael Jackson and James Brown. You know, you can see because it'd be too coordinated. You know, so you can see when things are happening, when things ain't real. When the Holy Spirit ain't moving, you know it ain't moving to somebody trying to make it move. It don't work. The Holy Spirit come when the Holy Spirit come. The point of the matter is you got to set the atmosphere straight. You got to have that atmosphere to where that Holy Spirit can come in. You got to have that atmosphere going. You got to have that high atmosphere in order for the Holy Spirit to come in, and then you see things move.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've learned this over time, you know, because to tell you the truth, it don't take no rocket scientist to see this. You know, but people try to make it more than what it is by them putting on an act. If you putting on an act, it ain't helping nobody. It ain't helping yourself. It ain't helping the church. It ain't helping the people around you because you're putting on an act. You're putting on the show. You know, I think Apostle Porter was telling me about this preacher who said he was going to be like Daniel in the lion's den. He set himself on fire.
Yeah, and 21 people
burned up with him. And the church burned down. Now, God ain't say be stupid either. God ain't say be all that, that you think you all that in the bag of chips. Number one, did God tell you to do this? That's number one. If God didn't tell you to put on this demonstration, why would you put on a demonstration like that? Did you think you was all of that? I think we need to check ourselves. You know, because this is what's going on. We need to check ourselves on all of this. You know, with these people who's supposed to be highly religious, highly educated, they so far into the word till they can't be touched, that they're always right, that the book ain't even right. They're so educated now till the Bible ain't right. They're going to criticize the Bible and on what they think it should be, on what they think it should say. That's when you know the world going to hell in a handbasket. Now, do you want to be a part of that world, or do you want to be a part of Jesus' world? That's up to you. You know, you can't get out here and straddle the fence on all this craziness. You can't do that no more. Because you wind up losing your life over what? Over silliness. So let's get straight with God. Let's get our attitudes in check. Let's get our minds and our souls in check. Let's get with the program of God. Let's get with the program. Because, you know, the Bible speaks of a lot of things that's going on today. Matter of fact, all the things going on today the Bible speaks of. Or you can see different stories that coincide with your life. That's in the Bible. All you got to do is pick it up and read it. And you'll find it. God will show it to you. God will show you exactly where you stand. And that's the point where a lot of people scared of, I believe, because they don't want to know that God is looking at them and watching them. They don't want to know that God can point out their life to them. They think they're getting away. Mm-hmm. You can't hide from God. You can't. You know, people they misinterpret the Bible more than anything else. Matter of fact, they misinterpret the preacher when the preacher's speaking. You know, the preacher can speak in a good word. All the spirit moving. Soon as they leave out the door, they don't forgot the word. So what that tell you? That means you wasn't really listening. That means you wasn't really listening. That means you didn't catch it. You didn't grab it. Why didn't you grab the word? Why didn't you grab it? Because your mind was out there in the street somewhere? Is that why? Is that why nothing was grabbed? Because your mind wasn't into the service? It was someplace else? It was out there thinking about Jody or John, Peter, Paul, and Mary too? Your mind is somewhere else. You know, so we got to know when we come into these church doors, we got to come in with our minds ready. We got to come in with an open heart and an open spirit. We got to come in with an open mind that we are going to get educated in the word when we leave here. We're going to have something to go home with. We're going to have something that we're going to sink our teeth in and move along. But then another thing, we got to learn how to pass it on too. If you don't pass it on, talking about trying to keep it to yourself, what good is it? Because God wants us to spread his word around. That's what Jesus wants. He wants to spread the word around. So why not you and why not me? We go around and spread the word around. Let your light shine. Let it shine in all you can see it around each and every person that you're around. Let people see you and say, oh, they saved. Oh, they got some Jesus in them. Let people see that in you. Let people understand where you coming from, that you coming from the word of God, that you're one of the children of God. Let people see that. Let people understand that where that's at and where that's coming from. Let people know what's going on with it so we can get through with all of these things that we need to see in Jesus Christ, that we need to see in the Lord, that we need to see what's going on. Because God is with us and God will always be in time with us and know where we're at and what we're doing. Because, you know, as Apostle was talking about Saul's disobedience, okay, let's just put it that way, chapter 15, it says Saul's incomplete obedience. Now, I want to know how he can be incomplete. You just disobedient or obedient. You know, because you can't half-step with God. You know, you either is or you isn't. You either obey or you don't. You know, so I was thinking about that. You either obey or you don't. You know, I mean, listen, it's better to obey God than to disobey. How do you cope with it? Does your conscience even get on you when you do something sinful? You know, I have to ask that question too. I mean, I have a conscience. If I do something bad, my conscience get on me. So I have to think about that also. I mean, once upon a time, it really didn't matter. All my conscience might have said something, but I overread it. You know, I mean, hey, I didn't pay any attention to it. I overread it. Now that I turn my life over to God, you know, sometimes killing a roach or something, I might have a conscience, you know. So that's what I was thinking about. That's what I was thinking about all that. When that happens, so we got to learn. We need to think about what's going on and how do we treat one another. Let's go back to that point. Doesn't the Bible say love thy neighbor as thou love thyself? So why everybody hate their neighbor? Although some neighbors can be treacherous, you got to pray for them anyway and move on. That don't mean you got to go to bed with them either. All of this say, love your neighbor by distance. Love your neighbor by what's going on. Love your neighbor by all of that. Love your neighbor by what's happening and how do you feel. How do you feel about your neighbor? And let's skip the neighbor. How do you feel about your pastor? How do you feel about the deacons in the church? How do you feel about the sisters? How do you feel about the elders, the evangelists? How do you feel about all these people in the church? Do you have any animosity against anybody in the church? It shouldn't be so. So that means you're disobedient there also. You're disobedient there. Yeah. And you're so disobedient in there. You don't need to learn. You need to learn how to keep yourself from being disobedient in God. You need to obey God. You need to obey what God says. You need to obey what's going on. You need to obey that what's happening. You know. Let's not leave our lives incomplete. Let's not leave our lives incomplete. Let's try to leave it complete. Let's try to do what we're supposed to do. Let's try to do what we're happening and what's going on today. Yeah, let's try to find out what we're doing and what's happening today. And as I turn it back over to, let me get this straight. The mailing address is Post Office Box 2228, Apopka, Florida, 32704. The church address is 31325 County Road 437, Sorrento, Florida, 32776. And don't forget, on Wednesdays and Thursdays at 9 a.m. is Time to Talk About It with our very own Apostle Porter, 347-857-3925. And on Mondays, we have I'm Just Saying with Deacon Michael, 917-889-2211. And also, the Wailing Walls Prayer Line, that's 218-508-6746. And that's held by our very own Elder Witted. That's every Friday at 11 p.m. And the code is 3333#. And until tomorrow morning, this is Time to Talk About It. And I'm Deacon Michael. And Apostle Porter says loves and hugs and kisses, and she'll pray for you. Okay.
that peace, the peace I could not find. And I kneel down to pray, pray, help me please. And he said, you don't have to cry, 'cause I'll supply all your needs.
As I stop worrying,
worrying
how the story ends,
when I let go,
I let go,
and I let
God,
let him have,
let God have his way.
That's when things start happening.
I stop looking at back then,
when I let go,
I let go,
and
I let God,
let him
have.
So much going on. Sometimes I can't find my way, and oftentimes I struggle, struggle from day to day. I have to realize that it's not my battle, it's not my battle to fight. I have to know if I put it in his hands, everything would be alright, yeah.
Soon as I stop
worrying,
worrying how the story is,
I can let go,
I let go, and
I can let God, let him have,
let God
have his way.
That's when things are happening. I stop looking at that.
Oh, when I let go,
I let go, and
I let let go, and let God, let go, let God, oh, let go, and let God, let go, and let God, my brother, let go, and let God, my sister, you can't handle it, let God.